You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Friday, March 2nd. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. No Miles today. He's got some day job shit to deal with, and so it's just going to be me, and today we're going to preview the game against the Atlanta Hawks. Like I said in the last show, well-coached team, not very good, might be trying to tank, but can still eke out some really good wins. And then we're going to do a double dose of down the Reddit hole. We're going to do around the NBA in the third segment. In the second segment, we're going to do a Warriors-focused Reddit segment. Thanks for listening, Dubs fans. I'm a huge fan myself, born and raised in Oakland, and I write about the Warriors as well as the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts for Forbes.com. I also work with nonprofits as a development consultant, and I do this podcast, which I love. I've got a story coming out in Forbes.com about Klay Thompson on Monday. It's embargoed until then, so I can't really give you any details, but it's a huge project that he's been working on, and I'm really excited to tell the story. So it's been months in the making, so really excited for this to come out and to share it with you all. I'll share it out on all of my Locked On Warriors channels. That's right, you can get Locked On Warriors on Facebook at Locked On Warriors and Locked On NBA Net, which is our daily dose of the NBA, a bite-sized chunk of the biggest stories with the local experts. That's every single day. Check out Locked On NBA Net on Facebook. You can get this podcast anywhere. iOS, Android, Spotify, and LockedOnWarriors.com. Make sure you bookmark that page. I just want to take a quick look at the NBA standings before we get into our segments. In the Eastern Conference, Toronto is leading 43-17, followed by Boston, Cleveland, Washington in the top four, and Indiana at 34-27, still holding on to the fifth spot. Philadelphia just got a big win in Cleveland last night. They're 33-27 in the sixth spot, followed by Milwaukee and Miami rounding out the teams that are currently in the playoffs. Detroit is three games below 500, and Charlotte is six games below 500 in ninth and tenth, respectively. In the Western Conference, Houston still leads Golden State by a half a game, one game up in the loss column. They're 48-13, Golden State 48-14. There's a drop-off after that. Minnesota's third at 38-27. They lost last night in Portland, who are fourth at 36-26. San Antonio has fallen all the way to fifth at 36-26 because Portland has the tiebreaker over them. New Orleans, 35-26, is continuing to hold on to a playoff spot with Anthony Davis making his mark on game after game. Oklahoma City at 36-27 in the seventh spot, and Denver has fallen to eighth at 33-28. They're getting Paul Millsap back. He'll have to acclimate, but it should be interesting. The Clippers are four games above 500 at 32-28 in the ninth spot, and Utah is 31-30 playing very well as well. So 10 teams on either side with a legitimate chance of making the playoffs. I mean, maybe nine in the Eastern Conference. You might knock out Charlotte from that mix, but it should go down to the wire in the last 19 to 20 games. Let's move on to the Atlanta Hawks. First meeting with the Hawks this year for the Warriors, and the Hawks are, you know, they're your typical rebuilding team. They are not prolific scoring the ball, 22nd out of 30 in points per game, and 14th out of 30 in pace. They're going to play at an average pace. Neither their defense nor their offense is particularly potent, and they're last in the association in attendance as well. You're going to hear a lot of Warriors fans in that crowd tonight. It's going to be practically a home game. And this is a team that has had some recent roster shakeups as well. No more Ersan Ilyasova, no more Marco Bellinelli. And so they're relying heavily on Dennis Schroeder, Torian Waller-Prince, who's in his age 23 season. He's very young, averaging 12.5 points a game. Their distribution is very, very even. Dennis Schroeder leading the team with 19.3 on only 43% shooting. Not a great shooting team. Kent Bazemore only shooting 41% with 12.8 points per game. John Collins having a very good rookie season. He started 8 games, played 56 games total. He's averaging 10.2 points per game on 58% shooting. Like I said, the team doesn't shoot the ball particularly well, but they do have a few three-point snipers. Mike Muscala shooting 36% from three. Malcolm Delaney shooting 36%. And Dewayne Dedmon, 40% from three on 2 attempts a game. Where did that come from? Torian Waller-Prince is shooting 37%. And Luke Babbitt, a solid 4-4-1 for the Big Bab. I just made that up. There is no Big Bab. I just love saying his name. Luke Babbitt. Babbitt. Anyway, a few injuries for this team. DeAndre Bembry, Tyler Cavanaugh, and Antonius Cleveland all out with various ailments. A few wins sprinkled in for this team over the last, 10 games or so. They won against the Memphis Grizzlies. They beat the Detroit Pistons, big win, 118-115. That was a close game. And they just beat the Indiana Pacers. So like I said, they have the ability to beat good teams. In the past, they've beaten the Spurs, the Nuggets, the Pelicans, the Timberwolves. The Atlanta Hawks play up to their competition and they play down to their competition. They lost at the Magic. They lost at the Hornets. And they've had some tough games as well. Some games, a tough schedule over the last 10, having to be at Boston, at New York, a loss and a win there, a win at home versus the Grizzlies, a loss at the Magic, a loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers at home, had to play the Pistons twice, had to play the Pacers twice, had to play the Bucks, and lost to the Lakers badly last Monday. And now they have to play the defending champion Golden State Warriors. Tough schedule for the Atlanta Hawks, but they only have 18 wins, and they're not trying to get too many more. They're trying to get a really good draft pick because that's how teams like Atlanta will have to build. They have in the past built through very smart free agent signings and synergy. But with this rebuild, they have to get a piece, And I mean, they could trade the pick and try to build with the assets that they get from that, but they're not trying to win too many games. Does that mean they're tanking? No, they're not tanking. They're playing basketball with a fairly depleted roster. They jettisoned some of their veteran guys in order to get younger to kind of reset, So that's where the Atlanta Hawks are right now. Significant injuries for the Warriors. Just Patrick McCaw still dealing with the fracture in his left wrist. And he'll be back in probably about 2 weeks. We'll see. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. The Warriors like to be careful. The training staff doesn't rush anybody back. But everybody else is healthy. The whole roster is ready to go. And they've had a break, a day off in between the game, a day off before that in between games. So they shouldn't, even though it's a road trip, they shouldn't be too tired. Since the All-Star break, the Warriors have won all 4 games they've played in. They're shooting 52% from the field, averaging 120 points per game, and 47.5% from three. Both those marks lead the NBA during that stretch. 81.6% from the line, only 6.5 offensive rebounds, but rebounding the ball at a nice rate, 41.3 rebounds a game. They're right at their 30 assists mark, only averaging 14.5 assists. 8.5 steals and 6.8 blocks. They are killing it. According to NBA.com, riding a net rating of 18.6, which is huge. They're assisting on 71.8% of their shots, only collecting 73.5% of available defensive rebounds and getting slightly out-rebounded at 49.5%. But their effective field goal percentage is 61.5, true shooting 65.3. They're averaging 21.3 points off of turnovers. Their fast break points are down 15 per game. And second chance points, not a lot of second chance points. But points in the paint, 42 of their 120 points per game are in the paint. For comparison's sake, they're allowing their opponents to score 18 points off turnovers, 14 second chance points, 15 fast break points, and 43 points in the paint over this stretch. So the fundamentals that the Warriors are putting out there right now are sound. That's what this really tells me. Points off turnovers, we're winning that battle. Second chance points, losing that battle and rebounding has got to be a bigger priority. I don't want it, the pulling weeds analogy from earlier this season that I used, I don't think it applies here necessarily. Just a couple of games against some really, really good rebounding teams, and the Warriors are going to have to rebound as a team better. That means rebounding at the guard positions. That means that Draymond and KD are going to have to crash those boards, that the guys who come in for spot minutes, David West, Jordan Bell, are going to have to make sure that they box out. And going up against Atlanta provides a great opportunity to practice that. Now it's time to go down the Reddit hole. We're going to start in our Warriors, the Warriors subreddit. And yesterday, this day in Suck, 3-1, 2010. This is from Redditor Robotsore. Posted a little blast from the past. Don Nelson had this to say about Stephen Curry: it's unfair to compare Curry to a two-time MVP, but that's as close as I've ever seen anybody come to Nash. They were playing each other. Nash was still with the Suns, and Curry was wearing the Lightning Warriors uniform in his rookie season. He had some great games during his rookie season, a 35-point triple-double. That note comes from the Twitter account This Day in Suck, which I just discovered, and that's a follow. That's a follow right there. I'm following this Twitter account. It's handle: to truly enjoy the golden sunshine, you have to remember the suck. Chronicling the daily events, good and bad, during the suck of the Golden State Warriors. This Day in Suck, 3-1, 2009. Anthony Randolph scores a career-best 20 points, added 8 rebounds and 4 blocks in 25 minutes in a loss, of course, a loss, to the Jazz. Anthony Randolph. Y'all remember Anthony Randolph? What a draft pick that was. Some other blasts from the past in here. Brandon Wright, another draft pick. Monte Ellis, another draft pick. Now, I'm waiting for Monte to retire. He's a Warrior for life, in my opinion, and I have a Monte Ellis jersey that I couldn't bust out while he was playing for the Mavericks and the Indiana Pacers. That's just uncouth. But now that he's not on any teams, I feel like I can bring the jersey out and rep Monte Ellis, number 8, because Kobe was his favorite player growing up. Never short of confidence. Back in the day, Monte said, in the NBA, the best players were, in order, Kobe, then him, then LeBron. This was, I believe, 2008, 2009. And to be fair, he was averaging 24 points a game. He was very good and did not hurt for confidence, which was good for the Warriors. That jersey is definitely making an appearance soon, though. Redditor Southwick 75344 posted an Instagram photo from one Stephen Curry, where he captioned it: when you feel like you're on the PGA Tour, so you got to get some swings in the hotel room. He destroyed a table in his hotel room. And luckily, number 30 is worth millions and millions of dollars, and I'm sure they don't mind. And maybe he even helped clean up a little bit. That's just the kind of guy Curry is. But make sure you don't hurt yourself, fella. Redditor Fitzrod the Reporter posted a video from YouTube from the San Francisco Examiner where Steve Kerr once again is talking gun control. You know, he's asked about the subject quite often, and he used a reference that we all hopefully know and love, Anchor Man, one of the best Will Ferrell movies of my childhood, definitely one of my favorites. And he compared President Trump to Brick in that moment where Brick was, you just watch the video, it's funny. Pop Kerr 2020. Or Kerr Pop, which would you prefer? Who do you think would be better in the driver's seat in this theoretical presidency, theoretical administration? Let me know. Send me an email at illegalcarter11@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at Kojitare, KOGITARE. Redditor Paris Bora Bora posted a story from Forbes.com. As you know, I write for Forbes.com. Let's promote that ish. The Warriors are now the NBA's third most valuable team, worth $3.1 billion. That's a 19% increase over 1 year ago. And when the Chase Center is finished, they're poised to add $1 billion to their valuation as well. So they could very soon be the team worth the most money in the NBA. That's $3.1 billion. As you recall, Joe Lacob bought the team for a then-record $450 million back in 2010, and that is called ROI. That's return on investment if I've ever seen it. In addition to being tremendously valuable, the article says, the team has a collection of remarkably impressive connections. Golden State has three of the sports world's biggest stars in Kevin Durant, ranked 18, Stephen Curry, ranked 21, and Klay Thompson, ranked number 115. No other team has as strong a trio of superstars, and they're extremely well connected in the sponsorship game as well. Starting with Rakuten and Chase, huge names, big money. So the Warriors have climbed into the top 10 in the Forbes Sports Money Index. According to Forbes, the Sports Money Index is the definitive money ranking in sports. Over 400 athletes, agencies, brands, and teams are ranked based on their place on Forbes' annual sports lists, as well as the place of the other Sports Money Index members they are directly connected to. So this index is a catch-all of everything sports-related, and the Warriors are now sixth on the Sports Money Index list. Nike is number one with $30 billion in revenue last year, followed by PepsiCo. Cristiano Ronaldo, number three, $88 million he made last year, followed by Budweiser. Creative Artists Agency, which is the largest sports agency by revenue in the country. And then the Golden State Warriors, number six, ahead of Barcelona, ahead of LeBron James, ahead of Real Madrid, ahead of the Yankees, ahead of the Cowboys, ahead of Lionel Messi, who's number 17. Kevin Durant is number 18. The Patriots are number 20. Somehow Russell Westbrook is number 16, but it helps when you just won the MVP. And Stephen Curry comes in at number 21. Klay Thompson is number 115. The San Francisco Giants are number 41. The Raiders come in at 48. My favorite athlete, Serena Williams, fell down to number 101 based on leaving the game to have a baby. She hopefully will be back for the French Open in May. The Cleveland Cavaliers are number 70. The Spurs are number 122. The 49ers are number 36, and the A's are number 262. Let's do better, Oakland. I'm looking for Draymond Green. He's got commercials now. He's, you know, made a name for himself, but I'm not seeing him in the top 300 using this control F situation here. And, you know, if he's below some of these other people, you know, I mean, Michael Bradley from the U.S. national soccer team is number 377. You know, the bald guy. Love that guy. Not seeing Draymond Green on this list. And that surprises me considering names like Andre Drummond come in at number 47, Carmelo Anthony at number 67, Al Horford at 73, Brad Beal at 72, James Harden at 75, DeAndre Jordan at 82. So, you know, I could go on. For you Raiders fans, Derek Carr comes in at number 88. Very exciting. I guess for Draymond, it comes with the territory of being a heel. You're not going to get as many great endorsement deals and, you know, maybe not make as much of an impact. Trying to find him, couldn't find him. C'est la vie. All of these NBA names provide a nice segue to the next segment, NBA Down the Reddit Hole. But first, I want to talk to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. That's an extremely well-connected male audience in the seat of innovation for the entire world. That's right, the San Francisco Bay Area. And smart advertisers are looking toward podcasts to get their products out to the people. So if you have questions about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast, hit me up via email, alicocarter11@gmail.com. I've got all the details for you. All right, here we are in the NBA subreddit, and from Redditor sdos_, who's very, very active in the NBA subreddit, he notes, from Brian Windhorst, J.R. Smith was suspended for throwing a bowl of soup at Cavs assistant coach Damon Jones, sources tell Windhorst and Dave McMenamin. Now that is not mature, man. This is a guy north of 30 throwing soup. So yeah, definitely well-deserved. And hopefully that's a sign of some strife inside the Cavaliers locker room. Anything that helps the Warriors get closer to the promised land, I'm all for. Redditor Dan the Man 9758 notes that 56 years ago today, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in a single NBA game. He did that in a Warriors uniform, people. He did that in a Warriors uniform. We should all take pride. In the previous three games, he scored 67, 65, and 61. Three straight 60-point games, and then, boom, 100. That game was in Hershey, Pennsylvania. It was not televised. There's one picture that remains, Wilt holding up a sheet where he just wrote 100. Dame Lillard has averaged 36.9 points per game in his last seven games, the most in Portland Trailblazers history over a seven-game span. More than Clyde Drexler, more than Bill Walton. That comes from In Case Ace, who's also very, very active in the NBA subreddit. The Sixers beat the Cavaliers last night and tweeted out an Arthur video to troll the Cleveland Cavaliers. Very, very funny. The Cavs obviously dealing with some up and down play and some acclimation from their new roster, their roster additions. In 1993, Shaq registered his first triple-double. He had two in his career, I believe. One was assist. This one, he was a member of the Orlando Magic, and he had 24 points, 28 rebounds, and 15 blocks. 15 blocks. And obviously, blocks is an imperfect stat because we don't have stats going all the way back to the days of Chamberlain and Russell. But 15 blocks is a ton of blocks. You got to imagine that Russell and Chamberlain did that a number of times. But to see it on television, man, I got to go back and watch that footage. Insane. That comes from Redditor Kawhi-Gay. And the Sixers note comes from Redditor Moneyball32. According to depressed Clippers fan, Chris Paul confided in Jay-Z before signing with Houston. That's from streamable.com. To confided in Jay-Z, it must be nice to have those kinds of relationships, to roll in those kinds of circles. Like, hey, what would you do in this situation? Or like, you know, B loves Houston. What is Houston like? Tell me about it. Just goes to show how far removed these guys really are from real life. If Harden wins MVP this year, OKC would have drafted three of the last five MVPs in back-to-back-to-back drafts. I've had that thought. That comes from Redditor XXStayFly81XX. And that's, you know, they had a run of draft success that may never be replicated. The Warriors obviously drafted Steph and Klay and Draymond, but drafting three MVPs, three guys who can go out and get you 30 and 5 on any given night, one guy averaged a triple-double, the other guy, James Harden, is doing insane things, the other guy's the best scorer of this generation, and they just allowed it to fall apart. That's too bad. It's too bad. Redditor Orange Cookie with a K. Pull something from BostonGlobe.com. Kyrie Irving talked about Zaza Pachulia. Kyrie Irving has things to say about Zaza Pachulia. He called out Zaza for falling on Russell Westbrook via Instagram, posted a photo and said, "The league has to take a look at this, man. This expletive is ridiculous." And, you know, we're back to Zaza now. And I have heard that people think that it was Nick Young's foot catching the back of Zaza's knee that made him fall over. I get that. But for me, one, Zaza's 270 pounds, and that shouldn't be enough to knock him over. And two, he didn't use his hands to break his fall. He used Russell Westbrook. And to me, that is negligent with a player's safety at best and dirty at worst. But Kyrie Irving played with Matthew Dellavedova, and he thinks the world is flat, so I'm not really listening to anything that he has to say about the subject. But I will let y'all be the judge. Kyrie said, "We've seen it happen before for years and years with him doing expletive like that. I don't want the league just to suspend him for 10 games, but you gotta take a look at it or something. That's unacceptable in this game. Guys who play in this league and play hard, we're trying to keep everybody safe. I think It should be the same thing that's echoed in front of everybody else. When it's done like that and we know his intentions, it's expletive. We don't know his intentions. That's me saying that. We don't know Zaza's intentions. But Irving said the play was dirty and Pachulia is a repeat offender. He said, "We all saw what was going on. Whether people want to admit it or not, that's on them. But for me, I voiced my opinion. It's not me going against the league. I felt the play was just unnecessary. It was totally unnecessary." But hey, arrogance season is real, and I will let you Dubs fans be the judge of Zaza's intentions. That's about as much time as we have today. Tune in next week. We'll be recapping the game against the Atlanta Hawks. We're going to do a Young Guns watch, check in on Pat McCaw's injury, see how Jordan Bell is doing, and see if Kevon Looney can get activated anytime soon. And then we're going to take a look at the Warriors' upcoming schedule. Specifically, I want to talk about the Indiana Pacers because I don't spend enough time talking about the Pacers. After tonight, the Warriors don't play until Tuesday. So use this long weekend, take a break from basketball, take a breath. Hopefully, the weather keeps and everyone out there can have the weekend that they deserve. Make sure you stay tuned in on Monday. Enjoy the game tonight and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.